condolences to the government and the people of Japan. Hour by hour, the situation seems to be deteriorating in Japan. The loss of life, originally estimated at maybe 1,000, is now creeping up at over 10,000. And of course, a massive concern about the nuclear reactors and the possible meltdown of those reactors, with further consequences on top of both the quake and the tsunami. Very pleased that we're sending a USAR team. I think that's really important. It reciprocates the immediate support for New Zealand by Japan. And this time, of course, we're dealing with a tragedy on a much larger scale. So our sympathy and our support for Japan at this time.
Just with regards to Christchurch, the government is obviously going to have some kind of formal inquiry. What would Labor, briefly, what would you like to see covered in some kind of inquiry, especially with the building collapse?
Well, I think there are some real questions to ask about the more modern buildings, the CTV building and the Pinefield Corporation building, and the collapse of the stairwells in Forsyth Bar. These are buildings that should be to a more modern earthquake code. They should not have collapsed, and we need to know the reasons for that.
Would you like to see if there is some blame to be had around the council and some of its inspectors and some of its sign-offs and some of its procedures in blame laying in the system?
Well, I think the most important thing is to find the reasons. When we know the reasons, if there is responsibility to be attached to particular people or bodies, then that will follow.
Japan, what are the assistance should New Zealand be considering?
Well, I think the USAR team is the first and most important, because we're still in that very narrow window of opportunity where there may be people recovered alive from the buildings, with the temperatures at around 1 degree and the drownings that would have occurred during the tsunami. How many people can be recovered at this point? It is questionable, but it is somewhere where we can help. I think we're then in the hands of the Japanese government. Obviously, with a tragedy of this scale, anything that New Zealand can do as a friend of Japan, we would be willing to do.
What would you consider the economic consequences might be for New Zealand? I mean, is it going to be a sense of them needing more resources, more food? Is that going to be a positive to New Zealand, or is it going to be the other way, one of our major trading partners taking a big hit, so we're going to suffer? How do you see it playing out economically?
I think the true answer is we don't know yet. The fact is that after the Kobe earthquake, which was on a huge scale, there was a 2% cut in their GDP. They're a major trading partner of New Zealand. A fourth or fifth is our trading partners. It's going to have some impact on them, but they're a resilient economy. They're a dynamic people. They will recover from that. And we're hoping that the long-term impact of that won't be too bad. There'll be a few insurers and reassurers around the world that will be scratching their head at this time to see what sort of hit they've taken.
I see the Herald this morning had reported you saying that you've pulled out of Honihara Weather, working with the Honihara Weather type of party after the next election, but you weren't quoted in there. I mean, are you saying that you won't work with Honihara Weather after the election?
I'm saying that I don't believe that he would be a suitable coalition partner, and there are two reasons for that. One is that is reliability, and I don't think that Honihara Weather would be a reliable coalition partner. The second is extreme policies, some of which I've found personally offensive. I don't think there is a basis for us working with Honihara Weather.
And Winston Peters? In a formal sense, you wouldn't, if you needed a couple of votes.
Yeah, I'm saying that we would not entertain a coalition with them.
So where does that leave the position with Winston Peters then?
Well, Winston Peters is still going to get back into Parliament. He's not there yet, so he's hypothetical until such time as he is, if he is.
But Honihara Weather needs to get back into Parliament too, doesn't he?
Well, he does, and to that extent it may be hypothetical as well, but I've got to say that I've found Honihara Weather not to be a person that can be relied upon. Any government that I form at the end of the year needs to be a stable government, needs to be a strong government, and if you can't rely on a coalition partner, then they're not a partner.
So is Winston reliable then? Is Winston Peters reliable? Because
well,
it's the same question.
Well, as I say, he's not back in Parliament yet, but he has worked successfully with the government in the past.
But he's reliable, is he? Because you say, well, not reliable.
Yeah, as I've said on Mr. Peters before, let the people make the decision, and we'll make a decision accordingly. But we'll have a bottom line, and that bottom line is not one that Honihara Weather reaches.
Because previously you said that it was arrogant, didn't you, to rule parties in or out before the voters had made up their
mind? Yeah, but people...
people, have asked me the question about whether what are the criteria that I'd look to, and I've said reliability, and I've said policies that could be compatible, and there'll be a bottom line. And I think at this point I can safely say about Mr. Harawira that he doesn't meet those criteria.
So just to clarify with Winston Peters, what is Labor's position on?
We'll wait and see if he's elected, and if he is elected, we'll have a bottom line in any negotiation with any other potential parties. I have not made a decision with respect to Mr. Peters, because it would be hypothetical at this stage.
Open.
Look, we'll be talking to a range of people, I'm sure, after the election.
But you're saying you found Mr. Peters reliable, basically, when he was in government with Labor.
What I'm saying is that he did see through the 3 years of his term with the Labor government, and he acted as a minister compatible with the agreement that was reached and kept to the agreement.
Where has Mr. Harawira proven his unreliability?
I think you've seen that day by day as this affair has gone forward between himself and the Maori Party, with agreements being reached and then broken, probably from both sides, to tell you the truth.
But Winston didn't tell the truth, did he, about what he knew about Owen Glenn?
Well, I'm not going into that. That's history, and I wasn't involved with the situation at that time. I'm not in the position to tell.
We would have to conclude, though, that you would work with Winston Peters, because on one side you've ruled out Ponihadawira, and
no.
On the other side you're saying that you will wait and see what the people decide.
I'm saying with Mr. Harawira I've ruled it out now. I'm saying with Mr. Peters the people have got to make a decision first before we even start thinking about that.
So what would a Labour voter do who came to see the Labour Party in government but really hated Winston Peters, couldn't stand him, and is thinking about that, just goes into the booth? I mean, don't they need to know when you're going to win the government?
If they're keen on having a Labour government, they'll vote Labour, and that goes for the Maori electorate as well. If they want a Labour government, they'll vote for Labour rather than anticipating that there's going to be a partnership with Harawira or with the Maori Party.
But with Winston Peters, the sort of deal with the brokers, I mean, you end up getting him as a deputy or a finance minister.
Well, I doubt that would be the case. That's not where he ended up in the last Labour government, and I doubt that
he'd end up. Pretty good gig, didn't he?
He got a position as Minister of Foreign Affairs, which is an important position, but it was certainly not as Minister of Foreign Affairs.
So would you go into the election ruling him out from jobs like Deputy Prime Minister and jobs like
Treasurer? I'm not going to get into the detail of that. He's got to get elected first. When he's elected and the people have spoken, I'll make a decision in that respect. That's the position I've held to consistently.
So I'm wondering how would have gone into Parliament with a couple of other MPs, and those were the votes you needed to form government, you'd say no?
Yeah, I would say no, because I don't believe that we could form a stable government on a relationship with Ami Harawira.
But you trust Winston Peters in a couple of
days? No, I haven't said that. I've said we'll wait to let the people decide, and we'll make a decision after.
But Ami Harawira hasn't let you down, though, before. Had a relationship with him, sorry.
Well, I've never been in that relationship with him, but I've got to say that people that have made the sort of comments that he's made, I can't see a compatibility between his strongly held views and the views of the Labour Party.
What do you make of that, coming out of that ACT conference in the weekend, that ad man is quoted as saying you need to be more of yourself?
He said he'd like to have a beer with me. Maybe we will, as long as he doesn't charge for the privilege.
So you're going
to
jack it up, eh? No. Get some free advice?
Oh, I'm always willing to listen to free advice, even from you, Duncan.
This morning, the representative of the Chinese embassy talked about New Zealand being more generous to the Chinese in terms of the Christchurch earthquake. Do you have any view on that?
I think it's important in regard to dealing with the victims of the earthquake that with international students that they be treated equally.
But not better, because one of the arguments of the representatives was that the Chinese have got a one-child policy, and if you lose a child, then in your old age you don't have the support you'd expect.
Well, I'm sorry, you can't base your policy on that. There may be many students here who are only children in their families, whether they be the Chinese, Japanese, Thai, Filipino. I mean, you can't make a decision premised on that. What you can do is say that we will treat all international students or the families of those international students fairly and equally, and that's what I'd expect the government to do.
I was going to say, don't you think the government's really doing that? Because there's ACC grants available, there's repatriation grants, there's one-off Red Cross grants, everything.
Yeah, I presume that's what the government is doing, and that's what I'd expect the government to do. Okay, thanks a lot. Cheers.